Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. It's House.
It's Houserageous.
Pope.
Alabama is my team until SMU does better, and then we'll talk.
Rooster.
The Jackson Dart train has left the station, and I am on board.
Milk.
Oh, Billy, it is a big year for you. No excuses for Napier.
And Bison.
That's a dumb take.
SMQBs, episode 232. Hey, Rooster.
Oh, my God.
In D.C., we call this Victory Monday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Gents, how you doing? Got NFL week one is in the books.
What a week.
Almost.
Go Birds.
Some of us are 1-0.
Yeah. House, some. Who are you bringing to a bar this week?
Well, there's so many people from Philly that I want to bring to the bar, but I'm not going to do that because I'm going to ask John Harbaugh to slide up a stool and say, buddy, you should be really grateful that you still have a job.
Oh.
Because now that I'm reading all the data of just how many games this guy has blown, I think 17 that are double digit over this last several years.
I think the second half.
This guy has been overrated as a coach. He is stacked with talent. They've given him all the pieces you could possibly need. At a certain point, the buck has to stop at the head coach. And that game last night and what he allowed to have happen in the last 3.5-4 minutes is abysmal. If you're a Ravens fan, I don't know how you get off the floor this morning. Harbaugh, saddle up, have one of your last drinks as a head coach, because you should get a pink slip. Seriously, it's not going to happen. But if I was a fan, if I was a Ravens fan, I'd want this guy's head on a platter.
Well, why do you think it was his fault that Derrick Henry fumbled, or is it because the defense couldn't stop anymore?
The defense couldn't stop over the last 4 minutes.
Should he have gone for it in 4th and 2?
I think he should have. I don't think he'd give the ball back to Josh Allen.
Yeah, all right. That's what I think.
Pope, who are you bringing to the bar?
Well, I just, you know, coming along with the theme here, I'm bringing my good buddy and player on my team, Derrick Henry. I need to lift his spirits after that crushing fumble last night, because, you know, Henry is not fumble prone. He's only fumbled once the last 2 years until last night. And, you know, look, it's a one off. It's a long season, 17 games. And I just want to encourage him to keep up what he's doing, which is run for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns a game, and things will be fine. Yeah.
Did anything else happen? What else happened as a result of that fumble last night, Pope? Anything you want to share?
We'll get there. Just you hold tight, Mil. Okay. Just hold tight on this.
Right, yes.
Mil, who are you bringing to the bar?
Oh, sticking with the NFL, I'm bringing Emeka Egbuka,
who has
not been rostered in fantasy football drafts, certainly will be after this weekend. 4 receptions, 67 yards, 2 TDs, including the game winner. Looked like a number one wide receiver yesterday.
There's a reason why he's the Ohio State number one leading wide receiver in history.
If we actually participated in a real draft, I'm not saying that this group did actually show up to a real draft, but had we done that, and when that selection was made, you might have heard the certain yours truly say what a great pick that was. The guy's a stud.
Wow. All right. September 28th.
Rooster?
See you then.
Rooster, who are you bringing?
I'm going to take John Mara to the bar, owner of the Giants. And I'm already pissed off enough that he sold 10% of the team to the Koch family. But now I'm really pissed. I'm gonna do one of the famous Salt Ambuka flaming finger shots to start things off, just to get his attention. And then I'm going to ask him what in the fuck he's doing allowing his coach to keep Russell Wilson as quarterback another game.
Genius move.
And when is he going to fire Daboll and Shane? Because they both suck ass. I mean, they've had 4 years. Oof. 4 years. And they're not better than the Saints yet.
Week one, ladies and gentlemen. Week one.
They'd be better off with fucking Aaron Judge as their Aaron Boone as their coach. That's
wait till you see Rooster at week 5. Holy shit.
Do you want Jackson Dart as your quarterback? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
All right.
He's in the second half of that game. It should have been the start of the Jackson Dart era.
I thought you didn't want him to come in for a while so that you got a better draft.
That's over with. Russell Wilson is terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. So, listen, I gave a lot of thought of who I was bringing to the bar this week. And, you know, this might be a first for us. I was away last week. I missed the episode. It was one of our first time doing college locks. And I was mocked by most of you on here for my pick, my lock of Baylor over SMU. Perhaps nobody realized that Baylor had beaten SMU 13 times in a row. So I thought about bringing the Baylor head coach, Dave Aranda, to the bar and thanking him. I thought about bringing Rhett Lashley, the SMU coach, and just letting him have a little, you know, cry over his bourbon. I even thought about bringing Brian Pope to the bar because not only did I own his ass in the Baylor SMU game, but I also beat him in fantasy. When Derrick Henry fumbled, winning by 1 point as a result. But you know what I decided, gentlemen?
Who are you bringing?
I'm taking myself to the fucking bar. Because I earned it. And I'm going to have a nice little pappy with a cigar. And I'm going to sit there and celebrate beating Pope twice. A Commanders week one win. That's it. I'm serving myself a drink.
What did they serve you on that baguette over there? This is a new cocky.
That's no right. Kidding.
Bison, by the way, I did mock you.
Suck it, fuckers.
By the way, gutsy call with Baylor. I did not think that was going to happen.
Well, I certainly didn't think that was going to happen every time I sent you a video of SMU scoring and right in front of me.
Yeah, saying, suck it, Nace. That's
suck
right.
Suck it, Nace.
The Pope curse.
Up by 14 with 4.5 minutes. I think that game should have been over.
Well, anyway. All right, gentlemen. At NFL week one, except for tonight's game, it's in the books. That means it's time for overreactions, underreactions, whatever you want to be. Who wants to talk NFL?
I do. Before we get to that, though, can we thank one of our sponsors for
sure,
this evening?
Sure, let's do it.
Milk, tell us about your company, Injury Board.
Injury Board is a membership organization of the top plaintiff civil trial law firms in the country and the UK and Canada. And,
yeah, baby.
If you're looking to expand your network, give us a call.
And all of us are members and love being members.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to start out this conversation on the NFL week one with a couple of things that just really almost shocked me. Surprisingly good performances by the Chargers, the Packers, and as predicted by yours truly, Danny Dimes. The Colts beat the Dolphins 33-8 and scored every possession. Every time they had the ball, they scored. And Danny Dimes threw a touchdown and ran for two. I mean, who would have predicted that, honestly? And
First time this century, by the way.
Pretty sure he's undrafted in almost 100% of the fantasy leagues.
I would not have predicted that the Packers would look as good as they looked against the Lions. We all thought the Lions were maybe the second best team in the NFC. And the Chargers, who hadn't written off Justin Herbert at this point, right? Great talent, can't win. The score wasn't really reflective of how much they handled the Chiefs. Those performances surprised me on the positive side. On the negative side, surprisingly terrible were the Lions, who couldn't move the ball at all against the Packers.
I miss Ben Johnson.
The Broncos looked like crap against a much weaker team. Sorry, Milk, but your boy Bo Nix, it looks like the sophomore jinx is upon him.
He'll be fine.
He looked terrible. And the Texans have taken a step back, in my opinion. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't block anybody. C.J. Stroud is bitching today about lack of effort by the rest of the team. They were awful. That was surprising to me. I thought all three of those teams were going to be good this year. I was not surprised by the Giants losing that game. I am surprised by the fact that I can definitively already say they are the worst team in the NFL, and they suck.
Ooh, that's
no. I mean,
they need Petty to fire stuff. Their coach. They need to bench their quarterback.
No, Daboll should be fired.
He should be fired. Shane should go, and Russell Wilson should never start another game. I would put Jameis in before him.
Did you hear, Rooster, is it true that Daboll went into management today and actually requested that Dart start next week and was rebuffed.
I did not hear that. If that's the case, then they deserve what they're getting. All I heard was Daboll saying that Russ would be the starter against the Cowboys.
I know that he announced that, but there's a...
Here's their logic. I understand their logic. Andrew, what's his name? Our left tackle from Georgia is still hurt.
Yeah.
Until he's healthy, they're thinking they don't want to throw Dart in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
So, you know, Rooster, I thought it was kind of a straight... I was at the game yesterday, and it's always a little harder to evaluate everything. It was kind of a weird game, but the name that I didn't hear at all in the stadium was Abdul Carter.
Correct. Except for on a blocked punt.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Which was like a tipped punt. Did he disappoint? I was terrified of him.
He had a great preseason. For some reason, he didn't start, and I didn't see him in the game much. I don't understand it. I have yet to hear an explanation that makes any sense. Because he's already better than Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Here are some things that surprised me on a lesser scale. I'm surprised that the Titans are not as bad as we thought they were. They put up a fight. Cam Ward didn't look great, but they put up a fight as a team.
We had a bunch of drops.
I think the Browns really should have won that game against the Bengals if their kicker
didn't. They have a missed field goal?
Missed field goal, missed extra point.
Yeah, they lost by one.
I mean, the field goal was not a long one, so two easy kicks. I thought the Cowboys looked better than I expected, and the Eagles looked less dominant than I expected. I think they'll pull it together soon enough and I'll become the dominant team we thought they would be, but they didn't look that way in game one. They just played well enough to win.
That was such a weird game.
Yeah,
it's like a shootout in the first half, and then after the lightning delay, like neither team could move the ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think the under actually prevailed, which was like historically not possible.
They've given up on that.
Yeah.
But if Butterfingers CeeDee Lamb had caught
two
out of those three drops, then it might have been.
Are you
going to
stand
outcome.
For this? This is kind of a ripping of the Eagles here.
It's fine. It was so enjoyable to go through this last year. And my ring is scratching me right now. Let me just move that a little bit.
Okay. I said so, they're going to be dominant. They just are off to a slow start.
Let me just talk about Cowboyville for a second. Pope said it. Our fan Jim Mitchell said it. It is really going to hurt the Cowboys this year that Dak Prescott is immobile. He still has an arm. He did not move out of that pocket once in that game. He did not run. He did not scramble. When you know that as a defense, that changed a lot. It wasn't just a lightning delay. What Fangio, our defensive coordinator, came in the second half and said, guys, like this all boils down to, are we going to be able to contain the run a little bit better? And are we going to be able to stop, basically, have our secondary cover? Because Dak isn't running. You can take that out of the picture. Dak, the real play that was missed wasn't CeeDee's drops. Dak had Ferguson wide open for a touchdown, and he underthrew it. It was a badly underthrown ball. That was
You're talking about the one that he dropped?
Yeah, well, it was on the back of the helmet of the Eagles defender. Technically, Ferguson had to reach over the Eagles defender to try to grab the ball. It was underthrown. He was wide open behind the defender. And also, I mean, Miles Sanders hurt the Cowboys badly in two ways. First of all, Miles Sanders got run down on a breakaway run by a linebacker.
Right.
Zach Bond ran him down and saved the game. And then a couple plays later, he fumbled.
Ran him down with enough time to try to punch the ball loose and then tackle him when that didn't work.
The good news is that Javonte Williams has got a little bit. I think he's an RB1, and that's okay.
That's so better than most.
And Pickens looked okay, too.
I think they're going to be fine. I think the Cowboys, like I said, I think they're going to be somewhere around 9 wins. They,
generous.
We'll see.
They just need somebody good on defense, like one player.
If they were just had one,
had a pass.
If only they had one guy to rush the quarterback,
they have an easy schedule.
Look, I mean, I think I said this. If you told me before the game that they were going to contain Saquon Barkley to 60 yards and the combined Devontae and AJ Brown to 24 yards in receiving, I would have been like, we win that game going away. So, I mean, look, I think the defense did some things that I wasn't expecting. I think, you know, whether it's the addition of Kenny Clark or, I don't know, their ability to stop the run was surprising on Thursday night. But the secondary is going to get torched unless they get a pass rush. And again, like Rooster said, I mean, oh, wait a second, we did have one. That is going to be our Achilles, is an inability to put pressure on the quarterback.
If you want to see a great breakdown of how the Eagles won that game, besides the fact that the person who I brought to the bar last week is really what I predicted, all of our success this year hangs, not all of it, but so much more than Saquon, it's going to be on Jalen Hurts. He had an incredible game, not on the stat sheet, but just being a gamer and a winner. You got to see this John Gruden video of a play called Pigeon 13, because when they stack the box with anywhere from 8 to 9 or 10,
is that what you call
defenders?
Push tush or whatever?
No, no, not the tush push. But the Cowboys said, we're not getting beat by Saquon. We're putting 8, 9, 10 in the box. And that forced the Eagles to making some important decisions as to what play scheme they were going to run to create different options. And Jalen read the play option that he had available to him and many times tucked the ball and ran for critical first downs.
Yep. And touchdowns.
So, I mean, I think they'll be fine. Obviously, I don't want to go too far into it because everybody's covered it over and over and over again. But losing Jalen Carter before the game even started, this is a guy who, no question about it, is a top three defensive player of the year candidate. When you take a defensive player of the year candidate out of the game, even Dak himself said that changed a lot for their offense as to how they were scheming things.
What was he thinking? I mean,
there's so many angles of this now on Spitgate. Dak spit at him. You can.
Time out.
Listen,
Adam. He spit on the ground.
Absolutely did.
Well, he didn't have a strong enough loogie.
He
spat on the ground.
He was in a huddle. He had two players in front of him. He jawed at Jalen Carter and then spit in his direction and then talked to him. You can see the video
in his direction.
The question is, though, if I'm the coach, why is Jalen Carter there to begin with?
Right. What is he doing?
Get out of their huddle. The game hasn't started yet.
None of this happens if Ben Van Sumeren doesn't go down on the opening kickoff with a year-end injury. But listen, with a little seance to a player like, I don't know, Rooster will recognize, Pope will recognize, you think Conrad Dobler would have been thrown out of a game for spitting? I mean, come on. Like, I'm not saying it was a good thing. I'm not saying we should go out and start spitting on players.
It was right in front of the referee.
Sean Taylor got...
Jesus Christ, the NFL, Tyler Guyton took an absolute uppercut. Complete... Come on.
Sean Taylor got thrown out of a playoff game against the Bucks for spitting. This was probably 15 years ago, but he got thrown out of a playoff game for it. So
Dobler would have waited until the game was underway and then done something that couldn't be detected. Like, I mean,
people are stepping on nuts and kneeing people,
throwing dirt in his eyes or something.
There's so much ugly stuff that happens. What the ref should have done is said, let me tell you something.
Don't do that again.
15 yards. Even Dak said the same thing. Dak said he expected a 15-yard penalty. Yeah. He didn't expect that he'd be thrown out of the game before the game even got underway. That changed the game enormously.
I don't know. I think spitting on someone's pretty clear you're getting tossed. I don't think there's really a question about that in the NFL. So
or college, right, Milk?
We'll get to that. Yeah. Two questions for you guys on the NFL. One, we were very hard on Aaron Rodgers last week in our preview. 4 touchdowns, no turnovers in that game. Is that a testament to Rodgers? Is this a turn back the clock, or do the Jets suck? They do have Sauce Gardner, and I don't mind their secondary. And back to the Chiefs and Chargers. We know about the Chiefs last year. Lots of lucky wins. Felt like, you know, you saw the stats. Terrible offensive stats, but a lot of W's. Are we going to see the Chiefs go down way
down? Come on, guys. They're missing wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
Worthy and Rice were both out of the game.
And Worthy went out. Worthy was part of the game plan going into
it. Are they a playoff team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
they're playing the Eagles, right, this week?
Yeah, they're going to lose that game.
Okay, and they're going to start off 0-2?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Right. We'll see. They're going to be home. That's revenge. Mahomes is a gamer. Kelsey's a gamer. They'll be fine. This is such an overreaction.
Here's the thing on Aaron Rodgers. Long season, right? But he looked more athletic than he did last year. And, you know, an Achilles is a serious injury. I mean, it's not surprising that a year plus removed from it, he looks more athletic. He can move around. He can make throws that he didn't make last year. Now, we got to see if that was a lucky week. If he, it's the first week of the year, he wasn't banged up at all. He's feeling spry. Because, you know, at that age, every hit, it takes longer to feel better, right, at that age. But he looked different than he did at any point last year, physically.
In terms of the Chargers and Chiefs game, I don't think people are giving Justin Herbert enough credit. Threw for 318 yards and three touchdowns and was perfect. He didn't have an interception. He didn't make a bad read. He ran when necessary, slid to run out the clock. The guy had a perfect game, and I just think he's turned the page.
Let me give you two of my surprises from this week. I thought at the end of last year, had you asked me, I would say that Drake May and Bryce Young are two quarterbacks that are turning the corner and look for big things from this year, for big things. If I have an overreaction from week one, they both sucked.
Yeah, well, that was everybody's.
Drake May looked terrible, and Young looked terrible.
I'm worried about Bryce.
He may actually be a bust.
Yeah,
and I maybe that's a week one overreaction. I just thought he took a step forward towards the end of last year. He was terrible, and so was Drake May.
What about C.J. Stroud? Do you think that's on him or the offensive line? I think he might have targeted Nico Collins once or twice in the whole
I think
game.
They're badly missing Mixon.
Let's not forget they lost Laremy Tunsil, who's playing in Washington now. I mean, he was pretty good offensive tackle, right? I mean, that's a big guy to lose off your line.
If you want to check in on the Jones household in Dallas to find out what a bad trade that was, by the way, look at what Micah did to Penei Sewell, who is consistently ranked as a number one offensive tackle in football.
Yeah.
Parsons threw him around like a rag doll.
Well, so that was going to be one of my questions is if you're Detroit and you already know, listen, I mean, we've said it on this podcast year after year, coordinators matter. Absolutely. They make a difference. And so you lose Ben Johnson and then you put out a clunker like that. I mean, let's not forget they got their last touchdown with 2 minutes to go in the game. I mean, it was 27-6 most of the game, right? So, you know, what level of panic should Detroit fans be feeling right now?
They lost Aaron Glenn, too.
Yeah.
I'd be panicked. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs did nothing.
That's got me panicked.
I think that's more of a testament to Green Bay, though.
Amon-Ra did nothing.
Yeah.
The offense was completely stagnant.
I'll say this, Milk, to your point about Green Bay, I have no interest in playing them Thursday night.
Zero interest.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to play them all year.
Just cancel the flight.
They look like the best team out of week one. It's week one. But if I had to pick one, Green Bay.
Well, I was going to say after the third quarter that it looked like Baltimore and Green Bay had taken another step. I think one of them is right.
Milk, what's your take on Michael Penix?
I think he's really good.
Yep.
I think we're very, very fortunate to have won that game and could have very easily lost it. Thank God for Ibuka and Baker came through. He didn't have a good game.
Well, Penix looked wide right, Shankopotamus.
He made some great decisions, and his composure in the pocket, like he doesn't scramble. He's not a running quarterback.
But he ran better than I thought he was capable of running.
He did on that one touchdown, but he stays in there and completes these passes. Like, I thought he was about to get sacked, and he would get a 15, 20-yard completion. They are 2 years, 3 years behind the Bucs, in my opinion. Give it 2 to 3 years, and that team's going to be unbelievable.
He made Kyle Pitts look good again.
Yeah, they made. Yep.
Two more teams I want to get reactions from. What happened to the Dolphins? I mean, remember 2 years ago, they were, like, their offense was unstoppable. I mean, their defense gave up points. But, like, 2 years ago, you thought Mike McDaniel, he was a
fire
genius.
Him too.
He's going to get fired.
And, you know, 8 points. I mean, what? That's a train wreck.
Tua
huh?
looked, like, scary bad. I'm betting against the Dolphins all year.
Yeah,
all I think year. That's a good one. I think it's a train wreck.
There was a hit that some people are suggesting might have resulted in, like, kind of a mini concussion or head.
Oh,
kind
God.
Of, yeah.
Please, no. Like,
so McDaniel and Dable are the ones that need to be fired. I mean, I also think that Harbaugh did was terrible, but truly, Dable and McDaniel should be fired.
Well, and what about Cincinnati? Because they're coming out playing a team that we laughed at with their quarterback situation. And, you know, I know don't bet against, what was it, Flacco, right? Isn't that what everyone says? Don't bet against Joe Flacco. But, you know, talk about a coach who maybe should get canned in Cincinnati. That team constantly underperforms, it seems like.
In the first half of the season, all the time.
Yeah.
No, wait till they panic.
Their offensive line is terrible, and Myles Garrett almost killed Joe Burrow.
Burrow almost got killed.
And I'm telling you, that O-line, they're what I was going to say, Bison, is they're off my list. They're not winning anything this year. That offensive line is awful.
Since we've been saying that for the last 4 years, the GM needs to take a little of the heat on this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get Burrow killed.
Well, I think they've drafted for it.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
All right, what else have we got on the NFL?
Well, what about the Jets? Anybody surprised how well the Jets played? I mean, they should have won that game.
The Jets, Steelers, I don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see some more football from those two teams.
I mean, with Aaron Glenn, I think they're a little bit tougher than what we thought.
They are.
I'm excited to have Garrett Wilson on my Garrett fantasy Wilson. Team.
If you guys,
I'm excited to have him.
If you didn't see the end of that game and the hit that Jalen Ramsey put on Garrett Wilson up that pass, wow. Like, wow. I mean, those teams were playing. Both those teams
were
playing.
Wilson was going to get up.
Boswell hit a 61-yarder, I think, to allow them to even win.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Breece Hall had a hell of a game.
He's a killer.
We'll see. We'll see on the Jets.
What about Deebo Samuel? Something left in the tank?
Yeah, there's something left in that tank.
Seems like it.
Interesting.
Seems like it. No house, 77 yards, 7 catches, a 19-yard classic Deebo touchdown.
Got a good offensive coordinator for him.
You played the Giants.
Oh, I said was the defensive line is pretty good for the Giants. There's a lot of talent there.
Who do you have week two? Who's Washington have week two?
We got Green Bay Thursday night.
Oh. Let me know how Deebo does.
No.
In Green Bay.
Oh. That's a loss.
God. Oh, yeah. That's a loss. But let's see.
Good luck.
Let's see. Everybody thought we'd lose to Cincy last year, week two also. So,
well, hold on. What are we doing about the Bills and the Ravens? We talked about the Bills defense, their secondary. Not a lot of defense.
None.
Great offenses.
No D.
Coleman's going to be fun to watch this year. He had some great plays.
Well, yeah, that fluke touchdown.
Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, you just don't want to put the ball in their hands. You know, that's like last one to get the ball pretty much between the two of them. They're going to make plays happen. But I cannot believe with the talent the Ravens have assembled on that defense, I cannot believe how many points they gave up. I cannot believe how many points they gave up in the fourth quarter. And maybe some of our, we say this every year, maybe some of our overreaction Monday on game one is the fact that all of these players are poorly conditioned because nobody's that was a preseason game for so many people.
Nobody plays in the preseason.
Yeah.
Nobody plays in the preseason. It's certainly evident in the Tampa game.
So House, you said, how does Baltimore recover from that? I think they recover just fine. I think they move on. They're going to be just fine. They've got a 2-time MVP quarterback. They have an offense that looks pretty unstoppable. That game may come down to matter for home field or something like that, but that team's going to be just fine as the season goes on.
I'm taking the Ravens next week, -12.5 against Cleveland.
Good segue.
Yeah, good segue.
Okay, well, are we doing Plaxico?
Let's do them.
Yeah. That's not my Plaxico, but I'm going to take that game.
We had a fascinating thing happen last week, and we'll get to Mateer Matters and our college picks too, but no one among this austere gambling group, no one went 2-0 with both their picks last week. So we don't yet have a great handicapper yet, but as form normally holds, House and Rooster are 1-0. House took the reliable Bucks, covering 2.5 easily at the Falcons.
Easily.
And Rooster took the Cardinals -6.5 at the Saints, won that. The Browns are always keep games close, yet Pope took the Bengals -5.5, lost that one. Bison got just a little over his skis about how bad the Cowboys suck. He took Eagles -7.5 versus the Cowboys, lost that. And Milk was a believer in Drake May and the Pats -2.5 versus the Raiders and lost that. So we've got, as a group, we're 2-3. And Rooster, You've got honors. You're 1-0. You can take the first pick in week 2 of the NFL.
And now are we doing this where we can't overlap picks?
Yeah. Yes.
You, okay. Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You can pick from the same game, but not the same side.
Got it.
Oh, I almost hate to do this.
You know you want to.
I'm going to take the Cowboys at New York, -5.5.
Wow.
Scratched that off my list.
Once I heard they weren't starting Jackson Dart, it's over.
Week 2's tough. Week 2 is really tough, but I just think the Lions get off the floor and they're at home. And I haven't seen anything from the Bears.
Yeah, that's a tough pick.
It's hard to imagine the Lions choking. And I don't think they'll go 0-2, and I don't think they'll keep that game close. I like the Lions -4.5 versus the Bears at home.
Yeah.
So why don't we go with Milk?
Well, I do like the Ravens, but my Plaxico, I'm buying into Rooster's analysis. I'm liking the Chargers -3.5 at the Raiders.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pope?
Well, my first two are gone, so I'll have a little bit of a stretch. It's unusual that you would see, even though they won the Super Bowl, a team on the road at Arrowhead giving points. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs Chiefs are getting 1.5.
Mm.
Okay.
It will be loud there.
Oh, Pope's going 0-2.
I don't think so. I think the Chiefs will be fine. I'm torn. I'm thinking either the Bills -6.5 at the Jets or the Niners -5.5 at the Aints.
I think 6.5 for the Bills game now?
That's what I see.
Yep.
Yep.
I think I'm going to go with the Bills based on last night's performance.
Hell yeah. I mean, it's the Jets.
Okay, folks, good luck.
By the way, everybody, speaking of being mocked for your Baylor pick, everyone mocked me for the Cardinals pick. I'd pick them again this week against the Panthers.
You were mocked.
No one mocked you for the Saints.
Cardinals. I wasn't on the show.
By the way, I would have said
that was a good one.
Marvin Harrison Jr. too showed up okay for me fantasy-wise. So
Tyler Murray did too.
Yeah. All right, let's go to college football, which is much more interesting to me this weekend after this weekend. That was really fun. I really enjoyed college football this weekend.
Aren't we starting with you? Are you now covering college football, given you're the expert?
That's right. I am the expert now in college football. Here's my advice. Don't follow Milk's betting recommendations.
Come on. Oklahoma hit.
Somebody, are we back to the same old, the SEC? Is that what we have to talk about?
No, please don't.
I mean, it was overall a fairly boring week after week one, which was such great matchups. I mean, OU Michigan, I was definitely surprised that OU was able to handle Michigan the way they were, with Michigan getting a lot of praise coming in with Bryce Underwood and all that. So that was surprising. And I think OU is going to be hard to handle this year, which I didn't see coming. But I obviously
think Mateer's very good. That's why we named our picks after
Mateer Matters. Yes.
I don't think that's why we named our picks. But, the SEC bounced back, I guess. Alabama won 73-0 against Cupcake City, and Texas failed to cover. Won fairly easily.
SEC bounced back? Isn't there a team named Florida in the SEC?
Well, how about Mississippi State beating Arizona State, who was number
12? That was a big one.
12 at the time.
By the way, if you're
in Starkville,
that Kenny Dillingham needs to fire his defensive coordinator. Up by 3.
Yeah.
30 seconds left.
Yeah.
He calls a cover 2 defense. There's no safety, nothing. 0. Man to man. Beat. Touchdown. Game over.
Before we get to Florida, because I think we need to leave a little special time.
My heart is starting to pound guys.
Please. I just want to get a couple reactions first. Florida State, 77-3.
East Texas A&M. I don't even know if it's a real school.
All right. That's why I started there, though, because then the next one is Georgia, only 28-6 over Austin Peay. So what are those two? Do those two tell you anything? I mean, can you read into it? I mean, one team steamrolls a team that they should, and the other one, meh.
I mean, you could argue the same thing about LSU over Louisiana Tech. Very.
Or Clemson and Troy.
Well, Clemson was down.
Yeah.
At halftime.
Yeah. So are they not good? Is Clemson not good? Milk, you love them.
I loved Clemson. I can't figure them out. There's so much talent on that team to not blow out Troy. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes they play down to the opponent. Sometimes they don't open up the playbook. I have no clue. But then again, what does it say about LSU then if Clemson's terrible? It's still, I guess we'll find out this weekend.
Yeah.
When they play.
To the extent that you can read anything from these cupcake games, I think Indiana is better than we give them credit for being. The Mendoza threw for 4 touchdowns Saturday, and they put up 56 points against Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
Look, you know, it means something to see a team take care of business, right? I mean, when you're a ranked team and you go in to play somebody unranked, particularly a home game, you like to think that you're going to take care of business, right, Milk?
Yeah.
Isn't that the exact in-state rival?
I mean,
you're ranked.
Unless
they're
it's
not
like
ranked.
A Miami or a Florida State,
you probably take care of business.
Don't
right?
you do milk, this to me right now.
Milk? What? You Florida had milk. South Florida. They won going away, right?
No. Some of our Florida LSU is undefeated matchup, big time.
No, help our listeners understand what's inside the head of a Florida fan right now.
And help our listeners understand, because it's, you know, the geography is a little weird. Where exactly is the University of South Florida? Where are they from?
It's in Tampa. If you're not familiar with it.
Isn't that where you're originating your pod from?
I can't stand that school there.
Rooster, you want to know what's inside the head of a Florida fan? Nothing. All their heads exploded over the weekend. So
here's the best way I can describe this. You guys are business owners. How many times since you've owned your firms or whatever, have you held on to an employee longer than you think you should have?
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. And does it always just cause problems down the road after you finally decide to fire them? Like, their problems stick with you.
Always.
Billy Napier should have been fired last year. He conned us and tricked us because he won 2 games at home against ranked teams. He should have been fired after the A&M. Texas game. 49-17 blowout. He beat a shitty Florida State team who got 2 wins all year. And suddenly it was like, ooh, everything's great. Oh, look, Billy's turning it around. But the problem is Billy's a fucking idiot. And he is what he is. He's 20 and fucking 20, period. End of story. He's a 20 and 20 football coach who continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. We had 11 penalties for over 100 yards on Saturday. Are you fucking kidding me?
Does that include
DJ
the spitter?
Lagway looks terrible. We had a guy who spit in someone's face. Lagway looks horrible. By the way, he looks like he's regressed. I don't know if he's hurt, injured. He looks overweight. He made horrible decisions. He overthrew multiple guys. We had 1 sack. One sack.
Against USF?
Yeah. And that came in like the 4th quarter, by the way.
That's bad.
I know USF is a good team. They're whatever. Okay. Florida should win that game by 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns every fucking time at home. Billy Napier is terrible. And by the way, we can't fire him because we have to pay him $18 million if we fire him this year.
That's
in the middle of the season. Okay. It doesn't work, but it doesn't. In 5 years ago, that worked. You could get rid of him. What are we going to do? We got $18 million, got to pay him. We got to pay players now. We got to use NIL, all the revenue to $25 million a year. It's too much. I don't know what to do with him. I'm done with him. Unless he goes 9-1 to end the season, which is laughable because we're going to get our asses kicked at LSU this week.
Hardest schedule I've ever seen.
At least you have a schedule.
I sent around a number today, 3-5-7-19. Nobody got it.
The rankings.
Those are the rankings of the next 4 Florida opponents. Number 3 in the country, number 5 in the country, number 7 in the country, number 19 in the country. You think Billy Napier is going to take down any of those?
Fuck no. And I think we're 1-5 in a month. 1-5. And you've got to get rid of him at this point. And by the way, here's the last problem, okay? It used to be where Florida was a destination school. All of these schools. Holy shit, there's an opening at the University of Florida. You run to it. You know how much everyone's talking about Dan Lanning today coming to Florida? If I'm fucking Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning makes $11 million a year. There's a 12-team playoff. Now, he's in the Big Ten. Why on earth would Dan Lanning come to the University of Florida? You couldn't what are you going to pay him $12 million instead of $11 million? I have no clue. I have no clue who would come there. Who
Maybe
is going to
come
to Florida?
Lane Kiffin would love to go there.
Kiffin? Fucking, why?
Here we go. Here we go. This is what I was expecting.
Maybe you could get James Franklin. James Franklin might be available.
James Franklin? Leave Penn State?
Milk, if you could have Belichick, or Satan.
How about the old ball coach?
Who would
you
take?
Dust him off?
Belichick or Satan?
I would take Satan in a heartbeat.
Is Lou Holtz alive?
How about Spurrier? Yeah. With Lou Holtz as his GM.
Maybe even Lee Corso.
Oh. He is going to lose to LSU, and then he's going to lose to Texas. I think that team is quit, by the way. And
Miami.
I want in Miami, and you have to fire him then. Stop waiting around. Fuck this shit. Fire him, and you're going to have to move on. Because if you keep him there for the end of the year, I don't know what the hell you're going to do. I mean,
if you think Milk's fired up, you should have seen how pissed Tracy was.
Get on the phone with John Gruden, by the way. Get on the phone with Gruden.
Bring on Chucky.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Something. Anything. I don't know.
Thank you to our fans for allowing Milk to work all this out.
Yes.
We apologize to the FCC.
I was in a good place until 5 minutes ago. Damn you guys. Fuck.
All right. Do we want to?
I don't even know where you go from there.
We go to our locks, right? Let's.
The good news is, to make Milk feel better, he's 1-0 in the Mentir Matters. He nailed TCU -3.5 in the circus at UNC. And of course, Bison with one of the most legendary picks of all time, Baylor +3.5, right in Pope's face while he's there watching live at SMU. House missed badly, Michigan +5.5 at Oklahoma. Rooster missed badly, West Virginia in a terrible, terrible showing at Ohio.
Unbelievable.
And Pope was just a little too confident. UT handled it easily, but not -37.5, which was a massive number versus San Jose State.
What did they miss it by?
I think it was like 31 or something. But
38, 31.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've got Milk and Bison who are 1-0, the rest of us. So why don't we start, Milk, with you?
I thought a lot about this one. I really want to, I'm not going to bet against the Gators, but take LSU. But my pick for this week, for our listeners who don't know, we all bet on Kansas State in the first game. We got destroyed in that. Iowa State, they are an awful team. They lost to Army this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw that. They are playing at Arizona on Friday night, I believe. I don't understand this line. It's a pick 'em, basically. Arizona -0.5 points.
Yeah, it's
Arizona
one and
has
a half
five-year
here.
Quarterback who threw for like 7 touchdowns yesterday. I don't know what it is. I'm taking Arizona. I think Kansas State's awful.
Okay, that's 1.5, Milk.
1.5? I see it at a half, but either way, I'll take it. Arizona. Okay.
Bison the better?
Yeah, I'm going to go Ohio State -32.5 over Ohio. I think they won 72-0.
Yeah, they played Grambling.
Ohio. I mean,
didn't Ohio just play well?
They just beat West Virginia.
Okay. All right. 32.5.
Interesting.
All right.
Mock me again. Go ahead, fellas. Mock me again.
Pope, what do you got?
I don't like any of these games.
Somebody take LSU, damn it.
Take LSU.
Thank you.
Well, why not? I'll take LSU. Fuck it.
All right.
What is it? What do you got there?
Giving?
Who cares?
9.5.
9.5. Bounce back game.
Okay. LSU -9.5. I kind of like that.
Yes, you do.
All right, Rooster?
I'm going to take Pitt at West Virginia -4.5.
Okay.
Targeting West Virginia here.
I'm going to give you guys the lock.
Is this Tulane?
Oh.
No. I have no idea. A sneaky little school in the SEC right now is the University of South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I like their quarterback.
I noticed that.
I like their quarterback a lot. And I have no idea why they're only getting 5.5 at home versus Vandy. So
Vandy's pretty good.
Vandy's okay, but I would load up on South Carolina -5.5 at home versus Vandy.
All right.
So our second sponsor for this evening is Supio. Supio is a software company that has an excellent AI program for plaintiffs' law firms to utilize with your case management system so that you can take all your medical records and investigative file and put together AI-generated chronologies, letters, demand packages, etc. Check them out at supio.com. They are leading the field in AI.
Guys, who's got a punch?
It's this week's punchable face.
Well, I got a punch and a lasso. Together almost, because I think you have to consider them together. It's a plasso. And House, you can chime in as well, but I don't know if you guys have seen it. Obviously, it's been viral now. the Phillies versus the Marlins in Florida. Was it Bader?
Yes.
Okay.
It was Bader.
So Bader hits a home run, and there's a bunch of Philly fans around because I don't think there are any Marlin fans who go to games. And the ball's kind of in the gray area. I mean, there's not anybody standing there who's going to catch it. So it hits the ground, and there's kind of a little, you know, scuffle for it, and a guy comes out with it, and there's another woman who was, like, trying to get it, but she didn't get it. So he walks over, and this is all on video, walks over and hands it to his son, who we find out later that was his birthday. 12-year-old kid, you know, loves getting a baseball, real happy. And then Philly Karen, who I guess we may not actually know who her identity is, comes over and starts getting in an argument with the guy, telling him that that was his, that was her ball, and he stole it. And, you know, he's like, no, what are you talking about? And so ultimately, I mean, she's such a bitch that he takes the kid, takes the ball from the kid and hands it to Philly Karen, who then returns back to her seat. So I'm going to punch Philly Karen, whoever she may be. Her identity maybe will be revealed soon. Punch her for, I mean, how dare her go over and take the ball away from a little kid. But because it was on.
Wait, just before we move on to the lasso side of that, there's also video that after she got back to the seat, people were telling her what a jerk she was for taking the ball away from the kid. And it didn't stop there. She was boasting to all the people around her, like, in your face, this was my ball, this is my ball, and she's showing it to everybody. It, she just got worse when she returned back to her seat.
And then she flipped off the
it.
Cameraman.
Yeah.
She's unreal.
And this is all on the video feed, because the Marlins saw what happened, and so they send, you know, this representative up there who brings a little bag with a baseball and maybe a jersey. I don't know what else it was, you know, to try to placate the kid because he lost his ball. And then, you know, maybe give them a little bit of a lasso. But the real lasso goes to Bader, because he heard about it. And after the game, he met up with the family, and he gave him a bat, right? An autographed bat?
You get bat, a whole bunch of stuff. Bader gave the kid a whole bunch of stuff for his birthday week.
Yeah. That's, I mean, awesome. That's so the lasso, you know, was the cool part about it. But the punch, I think, lingers. And evidently, social media will identify when somebody does something stupid, and, you know, cancel culture takes over. Well, supposedly they identified the woman, and she was fired from her job. And it turns out that may not have been the right person. What do you guys know about that?
Apparently someone said it was a school administrator from Hamilton High School.
House can't talk about this. He represents the plaintiff.
The woman who was identified said, listen, that wasn't me. And, you know, she laughed it off. She was good, pretty good natured about it. The school itself had to issue a little release saying the person who's been identified as a school administrator is one. That's not her. It wasn't her. And by the way, if it was one of our employees, they would have caught it in the air. So this would have never been a problem. Like, they made a little fun joke out of it.
She didn't get fired, though, right?
Nobody was fired.
Okay.
And it's not actually the school administrator from Hamilton High School. We do not yet know who.
Who is this person?
We don't.
How do we not identify
because
them?
All Karens look alike.
A Karen wearing a Phillies jersey? This is just, come on. This should be easy.
Was she the same woman who was at the Coldplay concert?
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, we identified them quickly. Come on. Let's go.
Come on, internet. Get to it.
Get to it. ChatGTP can do this for us.
Who else has a punch? So
I've got a couple of quick ones. It's been a while since I was in college, guys, so you might have to remind me. Is it a bad thing to have a dead baby in your college dorm?
What?
Oh.
Where is this going?
A cheerleader for the University of Kentucky was arrested because a baby was found wrapped in a towel in a trash bag in her dorm closet.
What the
we're going dark with
that. What are we thinking here?
That's just a what are we thinking punch. Here?
This is insane story.
That's crazy.
Like, if so, she did that,
somebody tipped off the police and emergency came in, and there's the baby in the closet. She is from Tennessee, so there may be some sort of cultural thing going on.
Oh, wow.
Boy, it would have been great if Bison had been on this episode of the podcast, but he wasn't there. He was still away in France.
Nor was Milk. Milk is,
yeah, Milk's left the conversation. Excuse himself. Do you have a lighter punch?
I have another controversial punch. I'm going to punch the U.S. Tennis Association for censoring us. Stop censoring us, people. They tried to get the fans to, first they tried to get the fans not to boo President Trump when he came to the U.S. Open. And then at the same time, they tried to get all the major networks not to broadcast the booing. I mean, come on. You know, this isn't the Russian Open. It's the U.S. Open. Stop censoring us.
There's
if it
long...
had been Biden or, God forbid, Bruce Springsteen, who was also there getting booed, you know it would have been broadcast.
There's a long history of booing the president at sporting events.
Hell
not
yes.
just this one.
Hell
not
yes.
just this
it's
one.
It's like when
it
Goodell shows
way.
Up somewhere, he's going to get booed. He yeah. just deals with it.
It's almost an honor. It's almost an honor to get booed.
It's just the way it goes. Stop censoring us.
All right, who's got another lasso?
I've got a quick one. This goes out to a guy named Carter Avey. He's a 45-year-old Missouri fan who was at the Missouri-Kansas game this past Saturday when during one of the, time, during one of the timeouts they did one of these contest things to amuse the fans where if he kicked a 45-yard field goal he'd get $25,000. So he comes out in his,
but by the way, these are mortal rivals, these two teams.
Yeah, they hate each other. This 45-year-old, you know, pudgy guy comes out in his giveaway t-shirt, you know, from Missouri, had everyone wearing the same colored t-shirts in the stands. And so before he goes to kick, he lifts up his t-shirt to show his real t-shirt, which says F-U-K-U. And then as he's approaching the ball to kick it, he takes a right-hand turn and just kicks it at the Kansas bench instead of towards the
That guy's legend. Legend.
Field goal. Wow.
Well, it was God. Funny wow. as hell. The crowd went nuts. So wow. good for him.
Oh, that boy.
That was awesome.
Didn't even take his shot at $25,000.
By the way, Rooster, ever since you punched this Bitcoin company Green Dildo, you know they're now showing up on football fields too.
Yeah, they threw one
weekend.
At that game, I think.
Yeah,
they threw one some NFL game.
Well, that means it must be time to talk about another one of our sponsors.
It's usually the lead-in, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's quite right. a segue. All right, if you need help with your website. Be it a law firm or a Bitcoin company, I can't recommend anyone more than Digital Law Marketing, digitallawmarketing.com. I'll give you an example. I a few months ago, I was thinking that we needed to talk a little bit more about a certain area of cases that we handle that are not, you know, your typical cases. And Digital Law Marketing did a page for us, and within like weeks, somebody saw this and hired us on a really, really good case. That's typical of Digital Law Marketing. Organic originations through the roof because of the great job that they do. DigitalLawMarketing.com.
All right, I think it's time for our buzzer beaters.
Hey, I have a quick buzzer beater. There's a lot to talk about this week, but you know, in a 162-game season for Major League Baseball, sometimes it's just the war of attrition and who can stay healthy and get through it all. The Phillies are in trouble. I mean, they have a 7-game lead opening up a 4-game series tonight against the Mets, but they have a Cy Young candidate who won't pitch again this year in Zach Wheeler. And they have an MVP candidate in Trey Turner who might return for the playoffs. He pulled a hammy yesterday or strained a hammy. He is right now, you know, as a leadoff hitter, as a guy who no one's close to him in the number of hits in the National League, he's batting around 300. He's the engine that makes them go. And I'm sorry, when you take off a reliable leadoff hitter that's scoring a lot of runs, that can really, really hurt. On top of that, Alec Bohm has hurt his shoulder. He's on the 10-day. So, you know, they're missing their starting third baseman. They're missing their starting shortstop. They're missing their number one pitcher. Brandon Marsh, who's been playing very well, just happens to be out with the flu. They are limping into a 4-game series against the Mets, who are desperate to hold on. So watch what happens here, not just with what obviously will be the number one seed to the Brewers, but watch what happens with the second seed. You know, there's two teams that get a bye. Will the Phillies be able to hold on to that and survive these injuries? I also say watch out for the Yankees, who have found their groove yep. and are climbing up on the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays should be very nervous right now.
And Rooster, you blew up Cashman. I don't know those bullpen pitchers he picked up, but they're pitching great right now.
One of them is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy they got from the Pirates.
The bullpen's a strength. So next buzzer beater, anybody?
I got two. First one, congrats to the U.S. Walker Cup team, the amateur Ryder Cup. Fleeced.
They won.
Yeah, fleeced the Great Britain and Ireland squad 17-9 at Cypress Point. I don't know if you guys got to watch. I actually taped it and watched some of it. I mean, what an amazing course, and it's such a cool competition. But nobody'd ever really seen Cypress Point before. And, you know, I guess we got to figure out a way to get the SMQBs on there someday.
I heard that's impossible to get
impossible.
On, by the way. Impossible.
That right. and the U.S. Open. 8 straight majors now won by either Sinner or Alcaraz. Alcaraz
boring.
Won fairly easily.
Not boring.
Not boring. Not boring. Not boring at all. That's the big. It's like when the big three, you know, it's tennis. Tennis needs dominance like this. And
right, whatever.
So Alcaraz wins and now has 2 U.S. Opens to go along with his French and he's not won the Australian, so Wimbledon, he's got 2 as well. And then Sabalenka beat Anna Samova, and the reason that's important is because Anna Samova, if you guys will remember, got bageled.
She got bageled.
At Wimbledon.
Bageled, that's right.
But she was able to win 3 games in the first, and she went to a tiebreak in the second. So she's still young, and she'll get hers, and Sabalenka gets her first major of the year. So a great U.S. Open, and I guess we'll look forward to next year with the Aussie Open.
Have you guys ever missed a full season of a sport with a groin injury?
No.
Personally?
Personally, no.
I've played with one. It hurts.
I thought Caitlin Clark is the greatest athlete to ever play sports. She's already done for the whole season?
Oh, wow.
Right? Didn't that happen?
Yeah. That did happen.
Yeah.
So what happens to the WNBA now?
No one's talking about the WNBA anymore.
They're not playing.
Is it over?
They're not fighting anymore.
They suspended the season.
They suspended the season.
Okay. Well, that's the last time we talk about the WNBA.
Have anybody ever heard of Paige Beckers? I mean, come on.
Yeah, she's on Dallas.
She's good.
She'll get traded soon.
She's as good as Caitlin Clark. There's plenty of talent. There's plenty of good basketball left to be played. And then maybe Sophie Cunningham will come back and fight some people and get the ratings back up.
If Caitlin's not on the court, does she even play?
Sophie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's got to keep her
Just stop there. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Any other buzzers? Rooster, I think we got one more sponsor, right?
We do. Assembly Software is the company that dates all the way back to pins and needles for case management. And then TrialWorks. And now they have Neos, the cloud-based system, which is one of the best cloud-based case management systems out there. And to go along with it, they have the best tech support you can get in the business. So check them out at assemblysoftware.com, assembly.com.
All right, we got, I think, 2 pour outs. I'm going to do a pour out for Davey Johnson.
Good.
You know, you guys, I get teased every once in a while about my baseball team loyalties, but when you grow up in a city that doesn't have a team, you know, you gotta make do with what's available to you. And back in the day when you only could watch one team because you didn't have the MLB.TV package and things like that, I kind of got to follow Davey. It was really strange. My first baseball team love were the 86 Mets, which he was managing. At some point, he became the manager of the Orioles. And my senior year in college, he was the manager of the Orioles, went wire to wire in the AL East, had one of the great team that couldn't make it through the first round of the postseason. And then he came to Washington as one of the early managers here. And so Davey Johnson was really kind of an all-time baseball guy. He played for the O's. He played for the Braves. He played in Japan. He played for the Phillies, the Cubs. He managed the Mets, the Reds, the Orioles, the Dodgers, and the Nats. As a player, he was a four-time All-Star. He's got three World Series championships, 66, 70, and 86. He had three Gold Gloves. He was Manager of the Year two times. In 1997, that year I mentioned, where he took the Orioles wire to wire. And then in 2012, when the Nationals won their first NL East championship. He's in the O's Hall of Fame, the Mets Hall of Fame. He also was the manager for USA Baseball for a little while. So this guy, and by the way, he also hit 40 home runs one year when he was playing. So really just kind of an all-time, you know, hardcore baseball guy. A lot of fun to watch, and certainly gave me a lot of personal joy watching teams that he managed. And it was just reading about him, I was thinking to myself, God, that is so strange. Like, pretty much all the teams that I sort of tracked growing up, he was a manager of at some point, and for some big moments for him too. So pour one out for good old Davey Johnson.
Good one.
Good one. Good one. His players loved him, even though he was a hard nose.
Yeah.
I mean, did you hear Strawberry talking about him today?
No.
Oh, my God. He just loved the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a good one.
I've got a pour out for Ken Dryden, who I remember watching him play in the 70s. He was the best goalie in all of hockey when I was growing up, and is still considered to be one of the best. The guy only played 7 years, and in those 7 years, the Canadians won six Stanley Cups. Behind him, he was just amazing. He played college for Cornell, and they won in 1967. They won the NCAAs because he was so strong behind the net. So anyway, the guy retired in 7 years because he was super smart, real interesting person, and had a great career in politics and business afterwards. He was a no-brainer for induction into the Hall of Fame, even with such a short career, because he was so dominant. So rest in peace, Ken Dryden, the best of the best.
Good one, Reister. Good one.
Yeah.
Got a little NFL tonight. Let's hope for the under. That's what we're going for tonight. All right, guys. See you next week.
Later.